Welcome back to Stand Up Sit Down. I'm your host, Nick Perdue. Today, I have the hilarious Fuquan Johnson. Stay tuned.
You are now tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. Stand up, sit down.
Looking like a trouble when I walked in the building. That mean I got something expensive. Know my friends, they killin'.
What up, man?
I'm
sure. Walk in the building. Fuquan Johnson.
That's right.
AKA My Bad Food.
That's right. At My Bad Food.
Just at My Bad Food.
You gotta throw the at in there.
What's up? How's life, man?
Life is life. You know what I mean? Yeah. Love is love.
There you go.
As my boy would say, love is love.
See? Yeah. And you had a good Easter?
Easter was cool. I don't really do the Easter thing. I chilled out with a couple of comedy friends, Sydney Castillo, Chase, man, and a couple of, you know, they cooked.
Right.
They ain't cook what I normally eat, but
but they cooked something.
They
right.
cooked something.
Right.
So.
As long as it's edible.
Yeah, it was good. I brought myself some new sneakers. I keep that tradition.
There you go.
The sneakers on Easter, you know. Every black person know about that.
They are either sneakers or some new church shoes, right?
Well,
some hard bottoms.
Hard bottoms. You don't go to church, you definitely going to get some shoes from Jordan. So I treated myself to some sneakers.
Get a little Stacey Adams, take them to the barbecue.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, on this side of town in like the valley, I never been to too many barbecues.
Really?
Nah, niggas, I mean, they barbecue inside.
Right.
So right. I don't know if you
want
to call
that. That's not really a
barbecue. I need to fold up chairs. I need to fold up tables.
Right. I need some flies buzzing around.
Some bad kids. Somebody stabbing at the macaroni potato salad season.
Yeah.
Who made it?
Who potato salad bit?
Yeah, and I don't even like it, but I still stab at it. I know what it looks like when it's good.
When you throw your plate away, you got to turn it down so they don't get mad, right?
Hey, you know, it's so crazy that day. It was a homegirl of ours. She was there, and I literally, the way I made my plate, I got everything I liked, and so happened, it was everything that she made that I didn't put on my plate. So literally, she was like, "You didn't try this?" I went and tried her food, and you know, it was good. It was really good, but it was just something I didn't eat. So I literally was like eating it and like holding my nose in my head. I didn't hold it because I just don't like the taste of it, but
right.
I didn't want to hurt her. But she made something good of something I didn't like. It tasted better. I don't know.
All right.
I digress. So definitely Easter was cool.
So if you're cooking for food, make sure you ask him what he likes prior to you making food.
Yes.
So he can give you the real.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna eat pork.
Okay.
I'm no pork, and I'm very picky. That's how I stay skinny.
I mean that. Where I mean I'm not. It's just my genes. You know what I mean? Like I don't eat healthy. That's my problem. Like
really?
I don't eat quinoa. I don't eat kale. I don't drink green juices. I drink everything else except for the healthy stuff.
Oh man, I eat healthy, but it's when it's at the hour time.
Right.
I indulge in some party favors, as we would say.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, you know, I love life.
So you're from the East Coast.
I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Jersey.
Jersey, born and raised. What was life like growing up in Jersey?
Jersey, it's it was fun. I really have no complaints of where I grew up at, the things I encountered, the things I did. It definitely shaped me and shaped the way I think and my attitude.
Okay.
Definitely rough around the edges.
Right.
Just like Jersey.
Right.
I'm pretty much like about like 15, 20 minutes outside the city. So at a young kid, you know, your mom think you're going to the park. And I already got like $5, $20. I'm taking that train to the city. So, you know, I was definitely off the porch early.
Right. But now, so, I mean, were you a troublemaker growing up? Or was it like, you know, just like kid mischievous fun?
Kid mischievous fun. I definitely have some stories, some things I've done, and you know, I don't care. I lived it and I did it. It was fun, you know.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, these wrists been in some handcuffs before.
What kind of kid were you? Like? Were you funny in school, or were you like the nerd, or were you the bully? What were you doing?
Definitely not the nerd. And you know, honestly, I was one of the kids, I had a mouth. Like, I was always slick at the mouth when I was little. I was always slick. And so, yeah, I used to get beat up probably from, like, the age of one to about, like, kind of middle schoolish. Like, if you was a punk, I'm not losing you. But
right.
If you was somebody tough, yeah, I might back down and we fight later. So, you know, I definitely got the punk out before I became a grown man, and I definitely had some encounters, you know what I mean? So, wasn't a bad kid, but I was with it. I was with the shit if you want to do it, you know what I mean? If you want to steal a car, if you want to rob something from the store, you know, I'd definitely look out.
It wasn't your idea, but you were there. You weren't the Christian boy who was like, nah, we shouldn't do that.
No, not really Christian boy, and I wasn't a follower. I definitely... It depends what we were doing. If it was something I wanted, if it was something with candy, and then I was a little kid, candy gets, so I'm taking it. Right. I'm taking it. I'm sorry. I don't care if I got a pocket full of money. You know what's so funny? I'll tell you a funny story. I remember I was with my boy Damien. We was at the mall. Mm-hmm. We was at the mall, and I think I literally had a pocket full of money. Probably like a couple hundred dollars. High school kid. And I just got my license. We went to the mall, Livingston Mall in Jersey. And me and him went shopping. He was buying like little shit. And I brought myself my first jersey. Mm-hmm. So I brought the jersey. I was like, yo, I need those sweatpants from this other store, from Sears. They had some sweatpants on sale. From Sears. And these some regular sweatpants.
Right.
Yeah, just regular sweatpants. And son said, fool, don't pay for that shit. Don't pay for it. And the beauty about stealing is the rush when you think you're going to get away. So I put on the sweatpants, and I put my jeans on top because I had baggy clothes, and I'm walking out, and as I'm walking out, me and D walking out the Sears, going back into the regular part of the mall, and it was two cops that was like hitting behind the when you look for the map of
Store directory.
Yeah, store directory. They was hiding behind the store directory. I'm walking out. I'm feeling good. Like, I'm ready to tell him what I done came up on,
right.
And these two big Italian cops pop out, just grab me, and my man, did he get mad? Like, don't be grabbing kids and yeah.
Right.
And little he know that I got caught stealing. So yeah, I got banned from Sears. I think I still probably have a ban from Sears from stealing some sweatpants. But at least they had pockets.
Right.
They had pockets.
There you go.
Yeah, they had pockets.
You know what would be fantastic?
What?
Is if you did like a Sears campaign, and then like you became like the face of Sears. Right? Because that's just coming full circle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, man, I'm going to be like food when I grow up.
My slogan would be, don't steal from Sears. They care. They care about sweatpants. That's definitely what Sears cares about. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So now, growing up, like how are you introduced into stand-up comedy? Like what was your first introduction into like, oh, hey, people do this?
Oh, I went to school in South Orange Middle. I went to school in Maplewood. I went to high school in Maplewood, and I went to you used to have the half a days because kids would have to test, and you know a bunch of girls, guys. We all went to my man Tim's house, and Tim really didn't have a good VCR, but Raw was stuck in his VCR. So whenever.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it was always, Raw was always playing. He had right. one of the bootleg ones when as soon as it ends, it rewinds itself and starts all over. So basically, Raw was my first introduction into like stand up. When I actually like really paid attention, like, yo, this shit's dope. Like,
yeah.
Eddie's talking and I want to listen. And so that was basically when I was like, yo, this, it's stuck in my head. Like, I like this. Now, I wasn't the funniest kid growing up, I was funny. Not on purpose. Like, I was doing dumb shit, like, Foo fall, do a flip, landing shit. You know what I mean? That type of funny. You know? Or Foo come in the house, you know, a nice house, we had some white kid house, and I break something. And it is, I so happen to break it in a funny way. So that's where the whole my bag came from.
So you were just funny, and you were clumsy.
Clumsy, funny, halfway troublemaker, half wanted to be a good kid. I wanted to be good.
Right.
I wanted to. I wasn't that guy. I definitely wasn't a Jack and Jill kid. Definitely not that.
That's funny. So Eddie Murphy was one of your early inspirations.
Yes.
Who else kind of like helped shape the stand-up world for you?
Like when I start maturing as a stand-up?
Yeah, or like even before then, so you saw Raw, and then like were you like seeking out other comedy, or did you just happen to kind of like see stuff? Did you go and like see live comedy?
Seeing like comedy, I used to see they had hood stuff at like the bars around my neighborhood, so I used to go, and it's before I got in, I used to see like people like Wilson Vince, Quay Fernandez, a lot of New York and Jersey comics,
right?
talent. I used to see them in the bars rocking, and that's kind of influenced me to get into it. But yeah, it's comedy. Comedy just it just came, you know. Mm. It comes to you. I never met somebody who was like, "Yo, since I was a kid, I'm gonna do comedy." I wasn't that.
Right.
It definitely was like, "What am I doing in my life?" Hey, you fuck up a lot. Kind of funny. Why don't you try it? But you know, it definitely saved my life.
Wow.
Because I've definitely been like on my fifth baby mama, working at the airport and selling drugs on the side.
So what was that very first show like? When you got on stage and you're like, all right, this is it. Like they call you to the stage, you walk up, you grab the mic, the applause stops, and you gotta start talking. What was that like?
Well, first off, I wasn't supposed to go up. I was at New York Comedy Club. I think I was about like 20.
Okay.
My boy Damien, his mother was like, yeah, you should be a comic. I was like, well, first time, I'm gonna go check it out.
Right.
Next time, I'm gonna go up.
Right.
So. And it was actually a good show at the New York Comedy Club, and it was in the back. They're still around. The guy named Seymour, he was running this Saturday show. It was like a midnight show. So as I'm there in the crowd, I'm with my man's mother watching the show. I just hear my name being called. Like, Fuquan, what? And so I just go up. And I had a couple ideas I was rocking with.
Right.
And I went up, and they all bombed.
Yeah.
All of them bombed. They did everything but boo me. They did everything but boo me, but for some reason, I was like, I like this.
Wow.
I like this.
Wow.
Maybe I like the rejection.
Right, right. But you like the challenge.
The challenge, man, you know, I had some other challenges I didn't want to challenge again, but this one, I wanted to do.
But so, do you remember what you said? That didn't work. Like what was the first thing that you said? I was like, all right, okay, nothing.
I don't remember nothing I said except for the one joke that I write. And the one joke that I did write, and people say, yeah, you shouldn't do that because that guy's a comic and he has a lot of respect. I had a joke about Chris Rock and his, you know, when he talks, his hands are like this.
Right.
And the joke was, how did he grow up jerking off? Very hacky, very right. Everything. And I didn't know.
Right.
And you know, I got off, even though the joke did bad, everybody was like, yo, still don't try to make that work. Don't make that joke work.
Don't go home and work on that one.
Yeah, don't have no joke on comedian. You that's a quick way to end your career.
That is funny.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So you went home like that night, and did you start to write jokes, or like what happened, like, you know, when you're like, I want to do this again, like what did that make you do?
Like when I went home, I like after the show, it was this guy, he had booked a lot of commercials. He pulled me aside, he gave me a lot of pointers. He said, you should come do open mics, don't do that shit to yourself, that was a real show.
Right.
And yeah,
paying customers here.
Yeah, I pretty much didn't listen to that nigga. I didn't do no other shows. I think I did one or two open mics in Jersey and stuff, and I stopped because my head was somewhere else. I had my first love, and that went bad, and I was still hustling in the street, so I was like, fuck comedy.
You weren't committed to the craft.
I wasn't committed to anything.
Yeah.
I wasn't committed to anything but just having fun, and then a few years later, I moved to L.A., and I just picked it back up, and I never stopped.
Nice. So then what was that first show like in L.A.?
Oh, this time I was smart. I didn't go to no show. I hit them open mics so hard. I worked on my funny. I worked on me being me on stage.
Right.
Me just being able to talk to other people on stage with my head up. Because I think the first 3 months, I took a comedy like this. Because I was like, I didn't want people to look at it. And I used to be one of the people who was like, if I told a joke, you didn't laugh, I would get angry. Like I would like curse out the comics or whoever's in there. I was literally like wanting to fight them. Like, nigga, that's funny. That's worse. Like, I tried it on my boy. It's funny. I didn't get it.
And right.
So, you know, definitely it was a muscle that I had to learn how to work.
Yeah. So after the open mics, and then when you did like an actual show. What was that one like? That first show, paying customers, coming in, sitting down, 2-drink minimum.
Oh, I did a show somewhere at like a Marie, what's it called? A Marie Callender's, the pie place?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like my first show. I remember my first show. And I did good.
That's good.
I really did good. It was some I don't remember what jokes I used to tell, but it went, it was me talking about how I used to work at American Eagle and how I was stealing everything out that bitch. I was very honest, and it worked, and they gave me a free pie.
Oh, nice.
Free pie. I got a little bit of change off the show, so.
Yeah.
That was definitely like, yo, there ain't no turning back. Right. I want to do this.
Right. And if not, just anything for the free pie.
Free pie.
Right?
Marie's pie. Yeah. I don't even like pie, but I was so happy he gave it to me because I was on stage.
Yeah.
Like my first earning.
Right.
It definitely was great.
How do you handle hecklers?
Oh, you know what? I'm not saying I welcome them, but I definitely don't stop.
Okay.
Because what hecklers don't know is at the end of the day, if you're you and you're confident, you're good. You know why? Because you got the mic.
Right.
So if sometimes it might spoil a joke, which I do get upset, but I have no problem at this stage in my career of going back and, you know, getting the crown in. But, you know, they want to introduce yourself. I'll embarrass you. But if you're just like that drunk, annoying guy.
Right.
Or normally it's a drunk, annoying girl. There's always some woman or some girl that just drunk, annoying. And I, you know, I don't mind them.
Right.
But in the same breath, if it's a show I care about, come on.
Yeah.
Stay your ass at home. Or come on stage, let's see what you can do. Because people always got their opinions. They don't know what this is like, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And because, you know, like people like to try and say something.
Yeah.
To kind of try and throw you off, get a little attention, mm-hmm. and then, because that's really all
yeah.
they want.
Yeah, they
want
to be a part of the show.
Right.
You know, and then they end up being a part of the show they didn't know they right. didn't want to be a part of. So, right. definitely. That's...
Yeah.
I don't mind them as long as, you know, I don't mind playing in a nice way. But right. if you're being that person, okay.
Then.
And nowadays, a comic, people be sleeping on comics. Like, people care. Like, you mess up my show and you're really being that guy, you try to come up on the stage, realize you're coming up just yourself. Right. Now, I got a mic, a cord, and a stand.
Right.
Those are three weapons in my eyes. So you're more than welcome to come up here. You're more than welcome. You might get hit.
Have you ever gotten into a fight from a show or something that you said, talked about a guy's girlfriend or something? Or
no, I never got into a fight, but I have been into some sicky situations. Like one time, this is I'm not a couple years in. I do a show at this spot called The Family Room, which is in Compton.
Right.
Which is around the corner from Atkins Park, which is some big blood area. And I didn't know.
Mm.
Anybody knows me, I love wearing my Yankee hat. It's just, it matches everything in my eyes.
Right. And you're from that area, from New York, from New Jersey. So it's like, right,
I always keep my hat on. So, yeah, I'm in there. People tell me you should take your hat off. And I'm thinking they saying take my hat off because I'm in the establishment. I'm thinking, right. Fuck this. I'm keeping my hat on. So apparently on this night, some chick, and she was a blood, and she was having a birthday, and the whole hood came out.
Mm-hmm.
And they wasn't tripping at first over the hat because they knew I was just performing. And I told a joke, and I have a raspy voice, and I mumble quite a bit. So I said a joke, and in the joke I said, is the point where I paused, I said, because. Well, they ignored the B.
Right, right.
All they heard was the cuz.
Right.
And this one dude said, blah, I know such and such and such and such and this and this and that. And literally, I went from in the middle of a joke at the peak of my joke to thank you, good night, have a nice day. And I literally took my hat off, went and sat my ass down. So, you know, I ain't no punk, but I'm smart.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not finding a bunch of blood. You know?
Right.
Nah.
Not especially in the hood and in the, right.
No, it ain't the fact the hood, it's the fact you're in their hood.
Right, right.
That local bar.
Right.
On somebody they call a sister's birthday bar.
Right.
They were dying to give out an ass whooping. That would have been a birthday present to them. Right. My ass whooping. So definitely, yeah.
All right. But, you know, you were smart about it, and now you can use that on stage.
Oh, I yet to use it, but I, you know, I've yet to use it because I've yet to, you know, my pride was hurt.
Right. I mean, well, you know.
I didn't want to back down, but that was just a smart thing to do.
Right.
I had a blue hat on,
right.
And they thought I said cuz in a bloody bar.
I mean, at at least you didn't have any, you know, any Snoop Dogg references, you know, and you weren't up there seawalking, because then that would have been like a major problem.
Yeah, and this was the only blue I had on.
Right.
And then once that happened, it's like, before I said goodnight, I let him know I spoke the most New York slang I ever could. I referenced my Timberlands.
Yeah.
I even walked off stage with a Diddy bop just to let them know I ain't from here. It was a totally misunderstanding, and please don't not shoot me.
Right, and you, because you are from New York, so you can say B, son.
You know? I was making up stuff like Shadig and you know what I mean. And right. I was giving them everything, let them know, like, yo, this ass whooping ain't for me.
That's funny.
Yes.
That's funny. Have you said anything on stage that you would have to have had? That's a terrible sentence, sorry. apologize for. Or like, you know, anything offensive, and or would you apologize for anything that you've said on stage?
I'm not apologizing for shit. And what I will do, if I offended you, I will go over and I'll talk to you and I explain my case, and we could talk about where we had to miss the disagreement.
Right.
But that's still my point of view, and I'm not going to apologize for being me, but I will hear you out.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, I talked about abortions and some girls that came in there with her womb sewn up, and she just wanted to laugh, and I'm over there talking about my abortion average being 2.3 a year. I'm pretty sure she was upset. I think the worst thing I have done, I literally told a joke how I was cheating, and my girl came. And I didn't know she was coming. And the funny thing is, that girl, she was by the illest because she just ate it up. She thought it was hilarious.
Right.
And she knew it was no ill will.
Right.
And it was in the beginning of the relationship. So, you know.
So you guys weren't technically all the way in it. He was kind of in it, but he wasn't.
Oh, yeah. But we eventually did a couple years together. So, you know. But she was probably one of my biggest supporters. Probably she hates me now, but she probably supports me from afar.
Right. Yeah. Which is nice.
Oh yeah, she's a dope chick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
What is your writing process like?
You know what? My writing process, it's I'm not much of a, like, a, you know, there's comics that sit down and find something, and they'll sit down and find beats and execute them and write it down. And they do the, there was a book that somebody gave me, and you do the who, where, why, you know, that type of thing with every topic or your premise. I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's is pretty much the guy who, I tell you about my life.
Right.
I will throw punches in, and so it's a process. So that's why I like to go to open mic. So I repeat the joke. It's a joke is like a pair of shoes, and you got to break the joke in. You want it to, you know, to sound right, to come off your mouth right. Find your punches, because some of your punches are not actual jokes.
Right.
It might be a fucking ad lib. It might be a way you might position your face or you look, because of the situation we telling the story. So definitely, I'm not your bookworm type of writer. I like to tell, you know, adventures or my point of view. So it's definitely a working process. Like every day I do open mic, every day I'm finding a new punch for a joke.
Yeah.
It could be a little irritating hearing myself say the joke again, but
right. It's whatever. But also, like, when you do use it on a show, now it's like a fine tooth comb, and you know every angle of that joke.
Exactly. And what helps is with comics, just knowing your voice.
Right.
Like I would never say that punch, so even if it's funny, I'm not going to say, because that's not my point of view to this joke. So
right.
I keep it in the rim of the joke in myself.
Yeah. Okay.
I use the rim right. That's crazy, because sometimes I be using words and I don't know the definition how to use it, but I seen somebody else use it that way.
So you want to use it.
Yeah, I want to use it. You know what I mean? Like, I bring my friend, he said, very, very hoove of you. And I was like, very hoove, I like that. Yeah, it's very hoove of me to go to the bathroom right now. And like, you don't use that word then.
Right.
But, you know.
How long do you hang on to a joke if it's not working? But, like, you love the joke, you know what I mean? But, like, even though, like, it doesn't work, but you want it to work so bad, how long do you keep it? Because I feel like we all have those jokes
you know,
that are terrible. but you just love it, and you're like, I don't want to give it up.
You know, it literally takes somebody else to say, hey, fool, that shit ain't funny. Or it takes somebody to say, hey, man, you shouldn't use that joke in this place.
Right.
And I still use it. It literally takes somebody honest to tell me, yo, man, give that joke away.
Or sometimes
I might tell the joke, put it up, and come back years later. Where, you know, you matured and you have a different point of view
right.
to the topic and joke, and then you'll be able to use it properly.
Right.
So I never throw away a joke. It's a place for it. You might take a stand-up joke and put it in a sketch.
Mm.
You might use it in an interview. Some jokes ain't made for the stage.
Right.
You might find a perfect place for it in the script. Or give it away. I have no problem giving nothing away because I realize that's not going to be my only joke. Right. I make more.
Right. Do you have anything though that's off limits? Like, will you definitely not talk about a certain topic?
Hell no! I'm talking about everything.
Everything's open game.
Everything. I remember I had a joke about saying I said something, and somebody was like, "Hey man, you shouldn't say that on stage. You're gonna offend people." And then Sean Wayans, he was like, "Cause I was opening up for him that time." He's like, "Yo, I'm not saying don't use it, but you're gonna use it." Make it understanding and make it goddamn funny.
Right.
So it's undeniable. And if you do that, you're good.
Right.
And another comic I seen do that before, and he definitely made me go, I'm never gonna have a limit of what I'm gonna say. And that's Neil Brendan. Mm. I remember one day I was at the improv, and the guy, he has this joke about the N-word, and he repeats that motherfucker. over and over and over and over, but he knows the mechanics of comedy.
Right.
So at the end of the day he gets away with it.
Right.
Because the black side of me won't go, I'm gonna fuck that white boy up.
Right.
But the comic side goes, freedom of speech, and
right.
the shit is funny.
Right.
So he gets away with the nigga, but it's funny.
Right.
And the funny thing is, he know how to say nigga right. He ain't one of them white dudes that says nigga wrong.
Right, he doesn't put the ER on.
No, he doesn't, he's not even, you know, some people just, you know, some white people or non-white people, when they say nigga and it's with the A, they still say it wrong, or they say it, they're like testing like nigga, nigga, or they throw like a Y instead of an I, they put a nigga, nigga.
Right.
Nah.
Right.
Say, there is no boundary with comedy, it's freedom of speech, and I hate that the world's got so damn sensitive.
Right.
And every topic is offhand, and you gotta think about somebody else. But this is definitely the craft where we're releasing.
Yeah.
And somebody's gonna relate, and if they don't relate, just understand our point of view, and if we make you laugh, cool. If you don't like it, shut the fuck up and wait for the next bit.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the other side of it too, is that you're not gonna like all of my jokes. I hope you like all of them,
yeah.
But you're not gonna like all of them. If you like 70% of them, then hey, yeah. that's a win.
Yeah, pretty much. And sometimes people don't even like your jokes. People just like you.
Right.
Some people can literally just like you on stage and like, man, I know somebody just like you. I really don't give a fuck what you're talking about. But you are entertaining.
Right.
You're not funny, but you're entertaining. So I like your style.
Right.
And that I think that's where my comedy came from, like the maturity of my comedy, because I think a lot of people liked me on stage. And then I got funnier.
Right.
Then I learned the mechanics and everything. Because people, I'm not bragging, but, you know, I got a good personality. I ain't the best looking nigga, but I got a good personality.
But you can make someone laugh.
Yeah, though. I can definitely make somebody laugh. Rather I try or not try, and they're going to laugh.
Yeah, you can make them laugh and like you.
Pretty much.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, some of these internet comedians.
Yeah.
Aren't very funny,
yeah.
But they're entertaining.
Yes.
So, and you know, there's been a small riff, I would say, right, with your internet comedians and your stand-up comedians and, you know, people trying to cross over and do this and yada, yada, yada. So, like, what is your take on the internet dudes who, because they have a big following, you know, a couple million people on Vine or Instagram or Twitter or whatever, get on stage, and, you know, they're not funny, but they have a big, you know, allegiance of people that they get, you know, bigger gigs and this and that without putting in the work.
You know what's crazy about that is as you know, what's that type of comedy, social media comedy, was it, it was like, what, you want to say like 3 years old now?
Yeah.
Like 3 years old. And yeah. At first, I'm not going to lie, I was a hater. I was a goddamn hater. I wouldn't say I was a hater. I was disliking with passion.
Wow.
I was passionately disliking these dudes. And I would like the dudes. The dudes are cool, but I just hate what they stand for. And then I had to realize what tree they came from. Mm-hmm. They're all in the family of comedy. There's a comedy tree. There's many avenues to go on this journey.
Right.
You know, you have your stand-up, you have your writing, you have your social media, you have your improv, you have many different limbs of this comedy tree.
Right.
So I learned to not dislike, and they're not going to stop what I'm doing. Yeah, sure, they're going to have shows, and they got the following, but most of these dudes following can't get in the club.
Right.
They can't get the 2-drink minimum.
Right.
Like, you know, Batch is, actually, I know Batch, great guy, and my boy has a lot of following. He's up to like 3 million. Mm-hmm. But you got to figure, at least 2 million of them people.
Or like 16 and like in
yes,
that.
Yes, they can't come to his show.
Right.
But, you know, when they first started, I used to get a thrill out of seeing them bomb. Like, yeah, nigga, you can't step over here. You can't do what we doing. It's a different than motherfucking. Stay in your lane, nigga. Stay in your lane, nigga. Don't fuck with the stage. You know what I mean? And I used to feel like, oh, we're born. You know what? Let me not pay my phone bill. See as I see a fucking whoever it is. Won't see none of y'all niggas that don't pay my phone bill.
Right, but then you also still need your phone.
Yeah, still need my phone.
You still need your phone.
Yeah, they're I used to call them mobile stars. Right. Right. You're just a mobile. Fuck media. You're just a mobile star, nigga.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let your gigs run out. See if somebody gonna be able to see you.
But see, now, you know, like you have stand-ups who are starting to kind of, you know, bleed over into that realm.
They're doing it.
So and they're taking back, or not taking back, but they're like, you know, like doing what the internet comedians are doing now.
Yes.
You know, because like you've done some videos with All Deaf Digital.
I did a lot with All Deaf and What the Funny, rest in peace to them. Rest in peace.
Hold on, what happened over there? Because what the Funny was this big thing. Marlon had it going and we were punching it out and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. Yeah, version of Funny or Die.
Yes.
And then it seemed like it just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah,
like
it didn't fizzle, nigga. It ran right into a fucking wall called No Funds.
That happens.
It happens, you know what I mean? It was greatly a fun process. I was a staff writer on it. It was definitely great. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
But pretty much.
And it was great content. You guys were pushing out great content over there.
But what we did realize, like after I messed with them and then I started going over to ADD and I started working with them, we didn't push out enough.
Mm-hmm.
We I think there was one person who was doing a lot of controlling of the things,
mm-hmm.
you know, who was like overseeing things, where I think everybody should have had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we definitely should have took advantage of more. We did take advantage of social media, but we should have did more.
Right.
It was definitely a learning process. So if I ever tried or, you know, I mean, I got with a new company, I would definitely bring a lot of intake and influence over there. So.
Right. Yeah, because it was a good learning and growing experience.
Great experience, great networking, met a lot of great people, met a lot of the media stars. I met Batch, Jay Snow, Jahan. I met all those guys over there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to switch gears.
Switch.
A little bit. All right.
Switch gears.
You know, we got Bill Cosby. We got Cat Williams. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Bill Cosby, he's a living legend, right?
Yes.
So, you know, with these allegations and with, you know, the stuff that's happened, stuff that he's admitted to and this and that, do you think that should taint Bill Cosby's legacy for like what he's done for the, you know, comedy community?
Okay. Before I even give my explanation, will what he done taint Woody Harris? What's the white dude with the glasses married? Is his legacy gonna be tainted?
I mean, there should be an asterisk by it. Like him and Roman Polanski should have an asterisk by their name for child fondling or whatever it is.
Yes. But I mean, what they did was extremely wrong. I don't stand for it. You know, I definitely look down on it. But at the end of the day, you can't take away what they have done.
Right.
And my thing is this: when it goes action, and they're doing stuff that we love, that's what we're there for. Now, right. When the camera goes off and they live their own personal life, who am I to judge? I mean, yeah, you raping bitches. Yeah, that, I'm a judge.
Right.
Yeah, you taking the pussy. Yeah, I'm a judge, but that ain't why I like you. That ain't why I follow you. That ain't why I give you that tear that you on is right. Because what you do in your personal life. So definitely it's a very sensitive just view on his legacy. His right. legacy shouldn't be tainted. Now his personal life, right. Yeah, nigga.
But do you look at him differently though now? Knowing what you know, look, what he in his private life that's public, you know, it's like, do you look at him?
I'm right now, I'm looking at him different, but if I go home and I catch a rerun and I see him and Rudy coming down the stairs singing them songs,
right.
I'm not gonna think about him throwing Tic Tacs in girls' mouths and saying, sleep. Right. And the crazy is, when I first found out, and all these bitches coming out saying, I see all these hold hoes and coming out of the right. woodwork saying him, I was like, man, I'm about to go get my moms and tell this bitch a lie. We about to come up on Bill.
And so Cat Williams, you know, he's gone through a string of legal troubles, unfortunately. You know, here's that, because like, my thoughts on him just doing comedy is fantastic. His stand-up, he's hilarious. His stage presence, second to none.
Yes.
You know, and unfortunately, he finds himself in these situations with the law that are just messing up his... Because like, he's still building a legacy.
Yeah.
And so all of this, like, I feel like it's tainted, you know, getting this fight with this kid. Yeah.
I don't think that's messing with, 'cause I'm gonna tell you the beauty about comedy. The beauty about comedy, unless you raping bitches, unless you doing Bill Cosby shit, you're good. He's good. Cat Williams is still good. You know why? 'Cause all he has to do is take these experiences on stage,
right.
Work his mechanics, and he got a great fucking special.
Right.
'Cause we wanna know. Right. We wanna know what yeah. really happened.
Yeah,
we seen do. The video, we seen the kid,
right.
We seen this, but make it funny.
Right.
There's nothing funnier than a short man fighting a little kid.
and then losing.
And losing. Losing to the kid did wrestling for 2 years.
Yeah.
And Cat, he said he was a Marine. You wasn't the type of Marine that saved lives. Oh, you definitely can't save my life. You can't risk a little kid. And if I get beat by some little kid like that, best believe I'm coming back. I'm stabbing this little nigga. I'm showing up.
You can't stab the kid.
I'm coming up to his school. I'm coming there with my little nephews, my little goony goons. They coming up and they knocking them out. You know what I mean? That's what I'm doing.
Oh, my goodness. Now, okay, all right. Dave Chappelle, right? Allegedly, he shot a special recently, like last week at the Palladium, because he just did like a string of
shows
there.
Yeah, I tried to get in. I was about to get it from the scalper, and son said, "Niggas, you get locked up for scalping tickets. Do you know how stupid you look?"
Yeah.
But I was seriously about to pay this dude $100 for his ticket. I should have did it. Because I seen another dude buy it and go in. And it was legit.
It was good.
It was legit.
Yeah.
It was legit. My boy Benny, and I was upset. He's like, yeah. Went up there with the dude because his girl left him. And me and the dude went in together. We had a drink. And we enjoyed the show. And I told him peace afterwards. I was like, man, fuck. I should have went. I should have did it.
Yeah, to see you know, Chappelle live. Especially because like, if they were taping it.
I mean.
You know. So you got to wait like the rest of us.
Oh, I have no problem waiting, you know what I mean? Because he's definitely, right now, he's my number one guy like that I like to listen to.
So how do you feel about him coming back? Like, what do you think it's really going to do for the face of stand-up right now?
I think, and this is his first special after all this ordeal.
Yeah.
Like, since leaving of Chappelle.
Since the Chappelle show and all that, getting buff.
Buff. Man, I honestly... I'm happy.
Yeah.
I am so happy. Because right now, who's rocking? Kevin Hart's killing everything.
Right.
So, and Kevin Hart's a great comedian, funny as hell, everything. So it's great to see somebody else get that light too. And Kev, right. I'm pretty sure Kevin has no problem sharing a light.
Well, yeah, so, especially Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, definitely. So it's going to be great. I'm definitely waiting for his special. That's something that I'm definitely anticipating.
What about Martin Lawrence? Because he's out here in these streets again.
He's out here doing too. It. Man, and you know what? He gonna have some stories too. I'm waiting for his stories because he didn't get buff,
right?
But he got puffed. He puffed on now. You know, I mean that comes with age. One day I'm gonna be chubby.
Right.
But I welcome him.
And the good old Jamie Foxx.
I hope he come back. I'm waiting.
Here's my thing about Jamie. I don't see Jamie as a stand up though.
Now you don't. But there's a lot of comics who actually got introduced to comedy because of him.
Right.
Because, you know, he came out Living Color.
Right.
Then after that, he started killing the shows. And then he got his own show, his own sitcom.
Right.
So there's some people were introduced through Jamie. So I'm welcome. I'm waiting for him. Like Chris Tucker.
Yeah.
Say, you know what I mean? And when I'm saying this, it's no ill will. What I'm saying is, like, Chris Tucker, some people got introduced to him from Def Jam.
Right.
And
right,
at
right.
the time, he was only doing, 5 to 15 minutes?
Yeah.
So when he's now, he just did a stand-up special.
Yeah.
And I saw it.
Mm. What'd you think?
I mean, it was cool. I mean...
Did you laugh?
I mean, he had a couple jokes that made me laugh. I'm a different type of comic, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I like him.
Right.
I like him. I like him in movies. I think he's a great comedic actor.
Right.
But the stand-up, I can tell that he didn't really, when his grind happened, he didn't really blossom as a comic. He blossomed as a comedic actor.
Right, right.
So
right.
when it definitely played this role, when you saw it, especially like, oh, you a comedic actor, really. You're really a comedic actor. And then you know what? That works. So you do you.
Right.
And you know what I mean? If he's out there, he's going to grind, do it. So, right. But a lot of these comics that, you know, that do comedy, you really got to go down.
You gotta get back in it.
Yeah, you gotta really grind. I understand you could get paid for this shit, but you gotta grind.
Yeah.
You gotta really grind. Like, if I ever shot a special, literally months before, I'm hitting every comedy club across America and see what jokes really work. Really, really grinding it out. Right. Really working that muscle.
You have to go to those offbeat cities, those podunk towns, and really kind of see, like, you know, middle America, the Bible Belt, you know, you got to really kind of see, all right, you know, is this too much for them? You know, will I have some fans in Wyoming?
Yes, and definitely grind. Yeah. Grind. That's the thing is grind. You can't fake the grind.
Right.
You had comments saying they did it 5 years, but it's like they only been going up twice a week.
Right.
And it's going to show. Right. You can't cheat comedy. You can't cheat the gym, and you can't cheat comedy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I welcome anybody, you know what I mean? Shit, I hope they welcome me when I get there, when I get to that plateau.
All right. So, because you've been doing comedy for how many years now?
Years.
What is your biggest piece of advice to the people watching, the people listening at home, you know, like the young comics who have just started out, the people who are thinking about getting into comedy? What's your biggest piece of advice for them?
Get on stage. Trial and error. Yeah, I know nowadays they have comedy classes, and that's great, and you can go that route as you want. What a comedy class can do is teach you structure. It could teach you the mechanics.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of comics out here. They know how to be funny. They're not funny.
Right.
There's a difference. Because a real comedian can say the in a funny way and make you laugh. Right. Now, if you only know the mechanics of how to, you know, set up punch, you can only be but so funny. You got to stay in that material lane. But a real comic, a real comedian can say words that make you laugh. Expressions.
Right.
And that's what you learn from getting on stage.
Getting up there.
Yeah, you just definitely got to, trial and error. You got to get on stage. Get that stage time.
Take them hits.
Take them hits. I don't care if the crowd's ready to leave. If somebody's giving you some stage time, go on. The best thing you can do on a show is go up first because you want to learn how to set the tone.
Yeah.
Set the tone. So if you're a comic.
People hate going first.
Who, me?
No, like people. Just like comics. You know, I've done plenty of shows and people, they hate going first.
Yeah, when I first started, I hated going first. Yeah. Then I grew to love it. You know why? Because, you know, this is not a comedic. It's not competition, but it can be competitive.
Right.
And I got to a point where I thought I was funny, and there was somebody after me that I respected.
Mm.
And my thing is, oh yeah, I'm gonna make it hard for you, nigga. you gonna need like 3 minutes just to talk some bullshit before you get into your set, because I'm gonna try to make it funny. I'm gonna take it the full way.
Right.
And my way is just raunchy, what, not even that raunchy, just real.
Yeah.
So when you're doing real comedy and you talking about me, it's hard to take them to your place. So I'm definitely, I used to love making it hard for comics. Right. But that helps them get better,
right?
Because I used to do, people used to do it to me,
and it just makes you want to, you know, step up and really get to that level, and then, you know,
and get that love.
That's really for the show. Like, it's really the benefit of the show.
Exactly.
You know, if the bar's already set high, and every comic's trying to reach that. So,
and if I'm making them already have a good time, all you gotta do is coast on through.
Keep it going.
Yeah, if you
keep it rolling,
just coast on through. You know what I mean? If you don't want to coast, man, it's gonna be a bumpy ride, brother. It's gonna be a bumpy ride messing with me. But I'm gonna talk about a little bit of everything.
That's funny. So, where can people see the Foo Experience live coming up? What do you got coming up?
I'm drilling in the Hollywood area. I've been talking to a couple of comics. They want to take me on the road, so I might be going to just random spots, like Denver and Milwaukee.
Right.
So that happens there. But if not, you know, you can find me in the Valley. I'm in Hollywood, Comedy Store, haha. I'm in all them spots. So that's what I do. You might see me walking out in a smoke shop with a blunt, cracking jokes. Regular old person, bro.
In Hollywood.
In North Hollywood. I might be in your hood. That, I might be coming out your mama's house.
Where can people find you online?
Oh, you can find me at any social media link. I'm at My Bad Foo. And if you're on YouTube, I do have a channel. I do put up content here and there. That's youtube.com/FooQuanJohnson. My Bad Foo. Thank you, Nick.
Perfect.
Always been
Thank
great.
Thank you, Foo.
Yes.
Coming through. It's been fun.
It's all it is.
You know, and this graduated from 2 years ago.
Yeah, I probably had on the same outfit. Let's go. I need to go check, see if I had the same outfit on.
Go back and watch it. I need you guys at home to go back and watch it too. Listen, thank you guys for tuning in. You can find me all over the internet at The Nick Perdue. And until next time.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christie, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.